We welcome you back to the Bun Sports Show on this Friday as we get set for what is the game of the century. It has been named that by CBS and every other college football aficionado around the country. Welcome in. My name is Jacob Bunn. As always, glad to have you with us on this Friday afternoon before the big game. I'm Jay Barker, former Alabama National Championship winning quarterback, will be with us later on in the program. But as always on Friday afternoon, we start off with a good friend and former Alabama player, Alabama contributor to the Bun Sports Show, David Sears. David, here it is. We've been waiting for so long, and it's finally upon us.
I think you're underselling it. I think this is more like the game of the millennium instead of game of the century. There's no game that will ever be as good as the game that we are about to witness tomorrow.
Wow. But not to hype it up, David Sears starting us off with a tremendous amount of hype on this game. Well, let's break it down from the angles, and I know this has been done 4,001 times already, but we got to do it. This is our show. So let's start with each team's defense. We all know that these teams are built around defense. Les Miles, Nick Saban, both extremely defensive-minded, conservative coaches, well, for the most part. What do you see as the key for each defense and the differences, if there are any, between these two differences?
Well, I mean, the biggest difference, just looking at it straight up, is Alabama runs a 3-4 as their base, and they do a lot of stuff out of that. LSU likes to run a 4-3 out of their base. They're both really fast defenses. They're both really strong defenses. LSU has small, quick defensive ends with pretty big defensive tackles. Alabama's big all across the board. They've got 270-pound linebackers. They've got 270-pound defensive ends, 320 pounds at tackles. But they just got big guys all over the place. They like to set their tone by hitting you hard and not letting up. They tend to get better as the game goes on. If you're going to get them, you have to get Alabama early. And then, I mean, I believe the stat is they've given up 30 first-quarter points and 25 points the rest of the games. So they're outscoring their opponents pretty well once they get past that first quarter. So if you're going to get to Alabama, you need to get to them early. LSU's strength is they come out and dominate you at the beginning and then kind of ease up. I don't see them being able to ease up against Alabama because they'll get themselves right back in the game if they get a lead. Neither team has really had to play a complete game. Oregon challenged LSU for a little bit, and then Oregon pulled away. Oregon scored a cosmetic touchdown to only lose by 13. The toughest game for LSU all year has been Mississippi State.
Yeah,
was in doubt. That game was in doubt going into the fourth quarter, and they were able to pull away and win then. So that's the only time they've really been challenged. Alabama hasn't had a game that has been in question heading into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. I was going to bring that up about Mississippi State. I was eating lunch with somebody today and talking about that game is so under the radar. Nobody remembers. Do you know what the score was going into the fourth quarter of that game? It was LSU 9, Mississippi State 6. That wasn't in control by any means. So, yeah, good point there on that Mississippi State game.
And that's been their one real test all year. It was a short week of preparation. It was a Thursday night national game of the week. And had Mississippi State not had that devastating loss against Auburn and would have had some confidence, who knows how that game would have gone. But, you know, as they say, if it's in butts were candy and nuts, oh, what a great time we'd have. Alabama's key playmakers, I think, are going to be Mark Barron and Dante Hightower. Upshaw is going to get his. He shows up in big games. We know that. But will Dante be able to be a dominating, disruptive force? And will Mark Barron be able to be ball hawk the way he had been in other good games and intercept deep passes? For LSU, the Honey Badger's back from his suspension. He's a really good corner that's very versatile. They're able to do a lot of stuff with him. They like to go to a nickel package or dime package where he can blitz from various places and he can disrupt plays. If you look, a lot of his big plays have been when they've gone to three or four wide receiver sets and he's been able to line up on an interior receiver, a slot receiver, come off unblocked, unaccounted for, kind of like a delay blitz and cause a fumble or strip the ball and run it in for a touchdown. So that's what Alabama's going to have to do. I think Alabama will probably end up keeping a lot of people in, like using a lot of two tight formations or just two wide receivers, not really doing a lot of fancy formations. I could be wrong, but I think they're going to do their best to make him line up on the outside as a corner, make him play a cornerback position, not allow him to blitz. And if they're blitzed, it's going to be from a long way away. I think that offensively for LSU, Alabama likes to take away the run and make you a one-dimensional team. Well, they've got probably the best receiver in the SEC right now in Reuben Randle, and it's going to be a really fun matchup to watch Dre Kirkpatrick and Reuben Randle. Dre has tended to be burned early in a game and then adjusted late for the rest of the way and playing well. Will they be able to burn him once or burn him multiple times? I think that's going to be a fun matchup to watch. If I had a special camera that would only watch one matchup, and you can stream it online, I'd love to watch that battle between Dre Kirkpatrick and Reuben Randle. It's going to be an epic one.
Well, and we saw on the other side, we saw Julio Jones and Patrick Peterson have epic battles the last couple of years. So it seems like every year there's a good cornerback against a very talented wide receiver from one of these two teams. The skill position players are just unbelievable for both sides. And Alabama's receivers, I don't think, get enough credit, but they're very good. Obviously, LSU has Reuben Randle, has Russell Shepard, who I think is exceptional. So, I mean, I just don't think the skill position, when you talk about these great defenses, people just forget these offenses have outstanding talents.
Well, both offenses are averaging about 30 points a game.
Right.
So you've got two offenses that are giving up or averaging about 30 points a game. Two defenses, I believe Alabama gives up 6.9 points a game, and LSU is giving up a little over 11. So these defenses don't give up that many points. Something's got to give here. Which I really think that we'll see a dominant performance on one of these aspects. One team will just end up dominating the other. I think the key stat for Alabama is 150 yards rushing. If they can get 150 yards rushing, with Trent getting about 100 of those, or about 90 to 100 of those, will be the key. I think they'll be fine. Because yeah. If they can start making LSU have to stack the box, A.J. McCarron is an underrated quarterback who has a very good arm. He's on the verge of a great arm. He's made some throws that give you gray hairs if you're a coach, but he completes most of them. And he's been able to put the ball right where he needed to. We saw that great throw he had against Tennessee when they went for the jugular after they had stopped Tennessee on the fourth down. They went for a touchdown pass. He put it right where only Bell could get it. Bell catches it, touchdown, and Bama doesn't look back from there. So he's really matured as a quarterback through eight games. I really like his confidence he has in himself and in his receivers. I mean, we saw some amazing Darius Hercules Hayes. I think AJ is very underrated. I think he will have a bigger impact than people want to give him credit for. Peterson, yes, he is a very prominent part of the Alabama offense, but he's thrown for almost 3,000 yards. So
you talk about balance. Alabama averages 229 running, 228 passing. So I think Alabama, LSU, very similar, by the way, as far as balance themselves, a little bit less on either side. But, I mean, these two teams, they can both run it, and they can both pass it. And I think we all know that Spencer Ware and Michael Ford and the LSU running backs will get theirs. We all know that Trent Richardson will get his on Alabama's side. But how about those quarterbacks? I think that's the key.
Jordan Jefferson and Jarrett Lee are a nice little one-two punch, very Tebow and Chris Leak-like, yeah. Where Tebow was predominantly a runner with a few passes, and Chris Leak was mainly the passer with a few runs. Jarrett Lee's shown that he can run the ball occasionally when he needs to, and that he's predominantly a passer. When you have Jordan Jefferson in, they like to run a lot of spread option type deals. Last night on Nick Saban's show, he said it's more of a Cam Newton type package where they spread them out, make you do a read option, and sometimes sucker you in with the read option and hit you with a play action pass. So I think we'll see Jordan Jefferson try to do that. But I think Alabama has the athletes to match up the front four and play a spy with a Dante Hightower or a C.J. Mosley or Nico Johnson on Jordan Jefferson and let the corners and safeties play man on everybody else. So I think we'll be able to have a very good guess at what Alabama's defense will do when the first time they bring out Jordan Jefferson.
David, the most important question of the day, I'm sure I'm going to ask to you now, and that, of course, is tomorrow night at about 11, if you don't factor in daylight savings time, which, by the way, folks, is tomorrow night, for those of you who probably will be up all night if you wear crimson and white, but tomorrow night at about 11 p.m. Central Standard Time, what does the scoreboard in Tuscaloosa read?
Alabama will have won the game 24-21. We will see a last-minute touchdown drive by A.J. McCarron, and Alabama will have eked out a victory, and the whole, should there be a rematch for LSU, talk will begin. But I really like Alabama. I was leaning to LSU earlier, but I really
You've been
Alabama
all year on LSU.
I have been all year on LSU, but right now I really think Alabama's got it going. And I think Saban, that he's won 12 straight revenge games in the SEC, where he's lost to his team in the previous year, come back and beat them next year. I really like that stat going for Saban, and I really think we'll see a Crimson Tide victory.
Yeah, you said Tennessee was going to beat Alabama, and you said LSU was going to beat Alabama. And you, but on game week, on both counts, you flip-flop. But I can't say I blame you at all.
Well, I mean, this Alabama team has surprised me on offense. I was very concerned about that offense coming into this year. I had no concerns about the defense, but man, has this offense shown that they're a very dominant force that is on par with the defense. So I think they've got what it takes.
David says Alabama wins 24-21, and I'm also picking the Crimson Tide to be successful tomorrow night. David, you'll be at the game, so will I, as will 100,000 other LSU and Alabama fans mix. Thanks for being with us, and we'll be back next week, and I'm sure this subject will come up again. Jay Barker joins us on this Friday afternoon as we head into the big contest this weekend between Alabama and LSU. And Jay, of course, has experience playing for the Crimson Tide, winning the national championship in 1992. Jay, is there something going on in Tuscaloosa this weekend?
It's something big going on. It's amazing, the hype of this game. And, you know, all week long in the opening dry docks, 94.5, and we talked about it, and for two straight weeks, but this is a game that's been circled for, you know, many months now, dating back to the summer at SEC Media Days, talking about if both of these teams could, you know, continue to win, it'd be a collision course straight for this game, dealing with this LSU-Alabama. You know, to imagine it'd be number one versus number two is pretty phenomenal what this game's going to be all about. Hopefully it'll live up to the expectations.
Yeah, I hope so. And this game's been sliced and diced from coast to coast. I want to get your thoughts, though. What's your overall analysis? What's the key for both teams as we head into this one versus two contest?
You know, I think it's like everything. I mean, every single game you play, whether it's from the time you play in the Little League all the way through high school and college and into the NFL, you have to be able to control the line of scrimmage. And I think Alabama to win the game, or for LSU to win the game, that matter. Either team has got to go up and be able to run the football, be able to stop the run and make the team dimensional. To be successful against an LSU defense, you've got to be efficient on first down. So if you're able to make 4 or 5 yards, 3 yards, you know, whatever it is, where it's, you know, second and 7 or second and 5 or 6, more than second 10, or you've lost yardage, you know, if you're second 3 or 4, you're sitting in perfect position now that you can do pretty much anything in your playbook on second down and still give yourself a chance to get a first down on third down. So I think, you know, first down efficiency, third down efficiency is always key in all the games. But, you know, against a defense like this, you want to be able to keep your playbook open. And if you got third and long or second long, a lot of times with the eyes they've got in that secondary, especially in the speed they've got, you're kind of cautious with the ball up as much, or, you know, down the field or across the middle, because you're afraid of the interception or the turnovers. Brady McCarron and the quarterbacks on both sides, you know, really making sure they're protecting the ball. And I think if you're going to take a shot or take a chance, you're going to take that chance in your own territory, where if you throw it, either the ball is going to be intercepted down, you know, in a pack on the 5 or 10 yard line, that's as good as a punt, you know, or going to be complete pass but still get a chance to, you know, get a field goal or an interception, taking a shot. So, you know, you got to make those moments, but Jacob, it's like every game. There's 4 or 5 plays that make the difference, and it, you know, who's going to knock that ball on defense? Who's going to make the catch? Who's going to make that extra block to spring Trent Richardson for an extra 5, 10, maybe, you know, 50 yards for a touchdown? Those are the type of things that make the difference in these type of games.
Jay, you played for a tremendous coach in Coach Gene Stallings, and of course, we have two great coaches on either sideline of tomorrow night's game: Nick Saban and Les Miles. What were the tactics used with your team as far as keeping the mindset of the players light? I mean, you played in the 1993 national championship game against Miami. With all the hype, you see ESPN game day around, how does the coach keep both sides, I guess, keep these players' minds focused on the task at hand?
Well, and I think for us, I mean, there wasn't nearly much hype. There wasn't nearly, and I, you know, what I mean by that is media outlets, social media, too. All the different people have their blogs and just the fans and the Facebook and everything that they can get on back and forth with. It's just a lot different than it was back in the early to mid-90s. Now you've got, you know, these guys are still somewhat insulated at all. I mean, preparing and doing the things you've got to do is say the best about. And I think all the coaches got to talk about that. Preparing the same way each week, not allowing yourself to get caught up in any of the stuff that is trivial. Instead, really focus in on the job at hand and do the things you do each week to be successful. If you do those things, you're going to have a chance to win. And that's all you're for. If you want to prepare to have a chance to win, against a great team like LSU, and you want to go out there and do the things each week to get better, not stay stagnant, not to get better in a practice or during the week, but instead really improve yourself throughout it. In the film room and studying, picking up things that may be a certain tendency or just something small that you might get a little bit of an extra benefit from, just from watching that extra film. So, you know, just stuff to do. I think the one thing Jacob and Coach Saban has done a great job of is McCarron. Back when I was a freshman quarterback, redshirt freshman in 1991, you know, my first start was LSU. You know, then after that, I played all the games, went into the bowl game, and you know, every single week I'd have to sit down for two straight hours and do nothing but just media stuff, do radio interviews, do writers. I won't interview them on the phone. So it was from about, you know, until about 1 or 1:30 each day that I'd leave and go to the facility and start working on film and stuff. And, you know, that was handled as a young player. And that were pretty much, you know, to the media. And Saban, I think, does a really good job of making sure that guys are mature enough to handle it, and especially a guy like A.J. McCarron. You know, this year he's not been able to speak to the media, but you know, a lot of media guys get mad about that. I think it's a good thing. I think for his maturation process, the quarterback, he needs time and definitely does not need the pressure that he might feel from a question or from a reporter to put on him throughout the game week.
Tomorrow night after the game is over and every bit of the game has been recapped, the agendas will become formulated in the press box at Bryant-Denny Stadium about whether or not, if it is a close game and if perhaps LSU, because they're on the road, loses, there should be a rematch in this between these two teams for the BCS championship game later on. What are your feelings on a potential rematch?
I like the fact that, you know, we're really talking about it. Look, if we've got two SEC teams playing for the national championship, it's a good thing for SEC. I mean, like winning another national title and showing that, you know, the SEC dominates college football, I love that. But on the flip side of that, too, I think it's going to be tough. If Alabama loses to LSU, and I think drop down to 3 or 4, I think, you know, the lowest 4, maybe more. I mean, it's really core to have the voters vote in this BCS formula. If LSU loses, I think it's a different story. I think for two reasons. One, they've been riding at number one. Number one, if they get beat by number two, tends to not fall as far. Let's just say they fall to number three. And then, you know, at the end of the day, if they keep winning, and I really think there's going to be a push because, you know, the national championship game is, you know, in New Orleans, Superdome. I think everyone loves that storyline of having a rematch, you know, part two, what an epic game it was. You know, if this comes down to the last second field goal or a last-minute drive for a touchdown, you know, I got to believe that the national media, ESPN, and other folks out there that are voting may begin to push to see this rematch. The problem is, one of these teams lose, how are they going to keep their focus? See, I think it's going to be tougher on the team that loses than it will be on the team that wins. A team loses like Alabama did in 2008, 12-0, and they lose the SEC title game. They go and play Utah and just laid an egg. And that's what you worry about as a coaching staff is, look, we have so much to play for. But in this one game, everything is wrapped up as far as postseason play. If you lose to LSU, they're in the driver's seat for the SEC title game and the national championship. And if you lose, you're now knocked out of two things. This isn't like, you know, you get that one loss and you're still playing for your conference championship. So the mental, emotional drain that can have on the team, that's when it's going to be important for, you know, whichever team or whichever coach has to handle that after this game to come back and refocus and make sure they keep winning and doing things they got to do to allow the voters to position them back in a chance to play for a national title.
Finally, Jay, tomorrow night, as we hit about 10, 11 o'clock Central time here in Central Alabama, what do you think? How do you think the game's going to go, and what do you think the final score will be?
You know what? I think it's going to be a tough game early on. I think it's going to go back and forth. I think special teams are going to play a huge role in how things happen. I think there probably will be a turnover at some point in time or just a really big explosive play. Hopefully it's going to be both of those will be for Alabama's favor. But I think what happens is it's a little bit close, but I really think Alabama pulls away from this LSU team and late in the third or early third quarter. In the second half, they've just been so strong this year. You look at the offensive line, we outweighed their defensive line by 40 pounds. Yes, they're athletic. Yes, they're fast. But that continual pounding and pounding, they like for people to go to side to side. We're going to go straight at them with Trent Richardson, with Eddie Lacy and Fowler. So I think that's going to put a little bit of wear and tear on their defense. They're just not as big as we are on the offensive side of the ball. On the flip side, we got speed and size. And they want to run downhill. They want to run the football. We just need to stop, not allow them to be efficient on first down, put them in second long, third long, make Jarrett Lee beat us through the air. I think if that's the case, Alabama's got a chance to have a huge day again on defense. So I think Alabama pulls away at the end. My prediction this week has been 27-10. I think it'll be that type of game, maybe 28-17. But I think Alabama wins by at least two scores, you know, if not two touchdowns. And I think it could be a big night for the Crimson. And, you know, all the stuff that surrounded this game, it'll mean even so much more if they can win the game and take that hype in the next few weeks and get ready for an SEC title and hopefully play for a national championship.
No doubt about it. It should be fun tomorrow night, 7 o'clock on CBS, Alabama, LSU. Nothing more needs to be said. Jay Barker of the Jocks 94.5 hosts the opening drive in the morning along with Al Del Greco and Tony Curry. Thanks so much for being with us, Jay.
Jacob, always great, and you're such a great friend and doing such a great job, and always great to come on the program with you.
Very much appreciate Jay Barker being with us. My prediction, Alabama rolls this weekend as well. I think it's going to be by double digits, and pretty much along the same line he does. Should be great. Thanks to David Sears and Jay Barker for being with us on this Friday afternoon. Well, number one versus number two, Alabama, LSU, tomorrow night, Bryant-Denny Stadium, 7 o'clock, CBS. If you have something else to do, reschedule it now. We'll be back next week and recap it.